Hare Krishna. So, first of all, please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpatarubhayascha kripa sindhuvevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So, I'm very glad to be among the Avatari Desh devotees today. It's a privilege to be in all of your kind association. Thank you so much for inviting me to spend a little time with all of you here today. So, I have taken up the topic of Gopi Geet as our today's discussion. So, I did it on a purpose because last couple of days since this lockdown, I've been speaking on very heavy topics like preparation for death, and the, you know, how to be successful to write our final exam, and the final exam that is death, and the how to overcome fear and hassle-free journey to Goloka Vrindavan, which has been like very, very heavy topics, but of course important topics because they are like our main course in our spiritual life. So I thought that today we'll take something light, like a dessert, like a, you know, a sweet pudding. So I thought no heavy topic and just take Gopi Geet. And also because the whole pastime of Gopi Geet, we can so much relate to now because of this lockdown. Because you see, the whole background of Gopi Geet is how Krishna disappears from the Rasa Leela and he's not visible to his dearmost devotees, gopis, and they're crying in separation for him. And which we can now a little bit relate to because we are also in separation of Krishna. With this lockdown, the devotees are not able to take darshan of their beloved deities at various temples across the world. They are inside, you know, confined in their houses. So they are also separated from Krishna. And they're also separated from devotees of Krishna because the no more Sunday programs, get together, the chanting, the dancing, the taking of prasadam together. So devotees are definitely missing all this. So all the more we can relate to the Gopi Geet now because we can understand what the gopis are going through. But the beauty about this Gopi Geet is the ending is very beautiful because in the ending Krishna does appear. He does appear from the bushes with his beautiful mischievous smile and his beautiful look with his peacock feather and pitambari clothes, and he gives pleasure to the gopis. So similarly, we also have a hope that all this lockdown is going to soon end and Krishna is going to appear very soon, and very soon everybody will be back, united with the devotees, with the opportunity of having the darshan of the Sri Vigrahas every day. So I thought Gopi Geet is an appropriate topic for today's discussion. And we all know how this this whole Gopi Geet background is. See, these different cantos of Bhagavatam, we know, represents the different limbs of Krishna. Like the first and the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam represent the lotus feet of the Lord. The third and the fourth canto represent his thighs. The fifth canto represents his navel. The sixth canto represents the Lord's chest. The seventh and the eighth canto of Bhagavatam represent the Lord's arms. The ninth canto of the Bhagavatam represents the Lord's throat. The tenth canto represents his beautiful face. The 11th canto represents his forehead. And the 12th canto represents his head. But we all know that the beauty of anybody's face is by the way the person smiles. And that smile of the 10th canto is the Rasa Pancha Adhyaya. The 10th canto has 90 chapters, and out of which these 5 chapters represent the smile of Krishna, the Rasa Pancha Adhyaya, which is 29, 30, 31, 32 and 33. And today we will discuss on the 31st chapter, the chapter in the middle of this Rasa Pancha Adhyaya. So this is very beautifully narrated. The background of the story goes this way, is that how Krishna plays his flute on one very beautiful autumn night. And when he plays the flute, the gopis are so attracted. So they all leave their household duties and they are running towards Krishna in the deep forest. And I thought that was also so important for all of us householders, because usually we have this complaint that we don't have time for Krishna consciousness because we are so busy in this material world. But Sukhdeva Goswami takes the pain of explaining how the gopis were also very busy. They were not free. So he goes on to explain in the chapter that how somebody was making the milk hot, somebody was feeding the child, somebody was serving the husband, somebody was cooking something, somebody was serving prasadam, somebody was cleaning, somebody was decorating oneself with some cosmetics. So they were definitely very, very busy. But as soon as they heard Krishna's flute, they gave up everything and they ran towards Krishna. And I thought this was also something so relatable to the present situation that we are facing, because Krishna has been playing his flute and calling us towards him, but we always been complaining that we are busy, unlike the gopis who voluntarily gave up the work to go to Krishna. We are not ready to give it up voluntarily. So Krishna forcibly putting us in such a situation where there is nothing else to do but to hear Krishna Katha. I mean, he is giving us the treatment which he gave to Yashoda Mata. Because when Yashoda Mata saw Krishna got up from his bed, we see that in the Damodar Leela, she apparently didn't stop her churning. She was still churning the butter. And then Krishna had to go and hold the churning rod and tell, stop it, you know, look at me. And I think that's what Krishna did with all of us. Because all of us were so busy with our own material lives, that Krishna said, look, I stop all your material business. Now you look at me. Now you worship me. And now even not only the materialistic people, even the devotees are very thankful, because even though as devotees we do our sadhana, but now we get all the more time to do our sadhana. I have seen devotees sending me mails that, Mataji, I completed this many cantos of Bhagavatam, I have completed Chaitanya, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Everybody is getting now all the more time to think about Krishna, to remember Krishna, to hear about Krishna. So though voluntarily the gopis gave up, but we didn't give it up voluntarily, so Krishna made this arrangement for us. So then these gopis, they just gave up all their work and they run towards Krishna in the middle of the night. And then when they are in front of Krishna, Krishna makes a very innocent face and he just looks at them and asks, what happened? How come all of you are here in this time, you know, of the night, and all of you are ladies, and how come you have come here? Are you looking for somebody? Do you want somebody? You know, I mean, very innocently, as if he doesn't know why they have come. And then when the gopis express that they have come to see him, Krishna starts giving them a big discourse on Stri Dharma. Oh, you're all ladies from respectable families. I don't expect that you will come here in the middle of the night to meet, you know, a boy, a man like me, you know, a boy like me. And you're supposed to serve your husbands and your children, and you're not supposed to leave your family like this and come. And he just goes on with this whole lecture of Sri Dharma. And the gopis are horrified because they are like, we left everything just to come and meet him. And here is Krishna. You know, this is what he says. And then Sukhdeva Goswami explains in detail how the gopis are scratching the ground with their toes and crying, and their face becomes red. And then after some time they wipe their tears, and then they speak up, and then they speak up the philosophy. There we understand that these gopis are not just ordinary village cowherd ladies. They have so profound philosophical knowledge. Sometimes we can't judge devotees by the way they dress or look. It's only when they open their mouth that we can understand. Like you see, sometimes we misjudge people. If you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, even devotees like Kunti Devi, or we see even somebody like Abhimanyu's wife, Uttara, we never hear much about her. But when actually a provocating situation comes in her life where Ashwatthama throws that arrow towards her womb. She goes to Krishna for protection and says, Krishna, who but you can protect me? And she doesn't go to her father-in-laws or anybody but Krishna. So at those times we can understand that they may be apparently looking like simple ladies, but they have such profound knowledge. So Gopikas, they sound like simple ladies, maybe milking the cows or selling the butter and milk and curd, but when they speak up in this context, we will be amazed how they argue with Krishna that, you know, our main dharma is to serve you. You know, you are our master, and with all our senses we out to serve you, Krishna. And then when Krishna is satisfied with all the arguments that they give, Krishna holds them by his hand and takes them towards the bank of Yamuna. And that is where this the Rasa Leela begins, the Maharasa Leela. And some Acharya said that there were more than a few crores of gopis in that Maharasa Leela on that particular night. So then Krishna begins the Rasa Leela, and Krishna already gave them so much pain by uttering those words, you know. So that is why Krishna gives them a special gift that night. What he does is, usually it is Radha and Krishna in the center who are dancing and the gopis are dancing around him, but today Krishna expands himself into various forms and every gopi is enjoying to dance with Krishna personally. Now what happens in the middle of all these things, it says in Srimad Bhagavatam that the gopis develop a little ego. Oh, Krishna is dancing with me. Looks like I must be really something special. How come he's not dancing with Radharani and dancing with me today? So as soon as they develop this ego, Krishna disappears. So he just takes Radharani and he just disappears. And then, you know, after some time, when Radharani also asks Krishna that, can you just carry me, because I have a pain in my legs, I can't walk anymore. And then Krishna also disappears from Radharani's vision. And it says here that even Radharani developed ego. But now this looks apparently very controversial, because gopis and Radharanis, they are the devotees of the highest order. So definitely they are bereft of all these anarthas of ego or enviousness. So we understand by the commentary of various acharyas that it is not the ego, or it is not the ahankar that they develop because of which Krishna leaves. There is some other deeper reason behind it. See, what happens is, when Sukadeva Goswami was speaking Srimad Bhagavatam, he just had 7 days. So he had to really hurry up and give just the important points and go next, because there's not much time there. So he didn't expand. But certain Vaishnava Acharyas have been so kind that they very nicely expand. This is something like, you know, when we see something on the GPS, on a map, we may see this is Sharjah, or this is Ras Al Khaimah, or this is Abu Dhabi. But when we actually zoom in, then we can see all the places with where the gold souks are, or where is the lulu, or what. You can see everything if you zoom in, right? But if you zoom out, you can just see a few dots here and there. So similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam is just like those few dots here and there. But Vaishnava Acharyas have very kindly zoom in, you know, different things, what exactly happened on that night. So it was just that gopis were not having any kind of an ego. It's just that they were thinking that, we are not so advanced devotees. How come Krishna is dancing with us? He's supposed to dance with Radharani, not with us. So what should we do to make sure that Krishna leaves us and goes to Radharani? So that is why they make a show. They make a show of ahankar so that Krishna leaves them and goes to Radharani. Now what happens here is, Radharani is with Krishna. But now her worry is that Krishna has left all the gopis and he has come with me alone into this forest. But what about those gopis? They may be missing Krishna. So what should I do to make sure that You know, everybody enjoys Krishna's association. So what Radharani does is on purpose, she delays. She keeps diverting Krishna's mind. Hey Krishna, look, I want this flower. Oh Krishna, I want that flower. So Krishna goes ahead and gives her this flower, that flower. And Radharani purposely slows down because she wants that by the time we keep walking slowly, maybe the gopis will understand that Krishna is missing from the ras and they will follow them into the forest. And she keeps doing that, but still she doesn't find the gopis coming behind. So finally she just settles down under a tree and says, Krishna, I can't walk anymore, I'm tired. So if you want me to go any further, I guess you need to carry me, but I'm not going to walk any further. So what Radharani expected is that Krishna will say, all right, then even I'll sit with you. And by that time the gopis will come. But to the contrary of what she expected, Krishna said, come, I'll take you on my, you know, my shoulders. And then Krishna bends forward and then he suddenly disappears. But then it's not Radharani's ego, or it's not that Radharani got some kind of an ahankar. It's just that her merciful nature, that she wanted everybody should be enjoying Krishna's association. But when Krishna just disappears, then she feels very bad. Oh my God, Krishna even left me. And this must be so true, because if Radharani wanted Krishna all by herself, then we Gaudiya Vaishnavas would never worship Radharani with Krishna. Because if Radharani had that nature that Krishna is only mine and I don't want to share Krishna with anybody, then why would we even worship Radharani? We know that Radharani wants Krishna for everybody. That is why we make sure that whenever we worship Krishna, we worship Radharani, so that Radharani takes us to Krishna, because she is so merciful. She doesn't want to enjoy Krishna's association alone. She always wants to give that association to everybody. So now what happens is this gopikas are crying and crying, and then as they are searching Krishna in the forest, they find Radharani. And now they're all the more sad, because they were thinking so far, all right, Krishna left the ras, but at least he must be enjoying with Radha. But now they see even Radharani is crying and Krishna left her too. And now the scene is so sad, I would say, that Radharani is crying and the gopis are crying, and all of them are crying, and then they are searching for Krishna. And as they go deep inside the forest of Vrindavan is very dense. All the trees are very close by to each other. And because there are kunjas, you know, the branches go down and go up and go down. So there is no light, moonlight coming inside. It's very dark. So the gopis think that, you know, even if we shout Krishna's name, Krishna won't be able to hear us. So then they all decide to go to a clearing, that is to the bank of Yamuna, where there is some moonlight coming, and there's a clearing for them to sit. So then these gopis and Radharani, they all sit there, and then starts our today's topic, where they start this beautiful song of separation. They sing for Krishna that, oh dear Krishna, please come back. Don't leave us like this. Please come back, you know. So it's very beautiful. Of course, Gopi Geet is such a deep and elevated topic. Actually, all of us are not even, I mean, especially me, we are not even on that level to understand. But this is something like, you know, the small children, when they don't have a digestion power, when they're very young, the mother, she mixes the rice and dal, and she crushes the rice and dal with her hands in such a way that the rice becomes so soft that the children can easily swallow it. Similarly, our Vaishnava Acharyas, our Param Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, with his commentaries, and other Acharyas have crushed it in such a way, and with their purports and translation, that at least we can a little bit try and understand the Gopi Geet. But otherwise, the topic is so high for us to digest. So here, the Gopi Geet begins, chapter 31. It has around 19 slokas of how the gopis, one by one, recite beautiful slokas, beautiful Sanskrit verses, glorifying Krishna and requesting him that, Krishna, please come back. So without much ado, we will jump into this Gopi Geet. We will take one sloka. I will recite, and then we'll have a short discussion, then move to the next sloka. Gopyo uchuha jayati te dhikam
Janmana Vraja Shrayata Indira Shashvadatrahi Dayata Drishyata Dikshutavaka Tvai Drita Savas Tvam Vichinvate.
See, the moment we recite this Gopi Geet, one other reason for me taking this Gopi Geet today was this Gopi Geet brings back such sweet memories of Damodar Karthik month, because as ISKCON devotees we are used to singing this Gopi Geet morning and evening during the marathon Damodar month. And especially if any of you have visited Vrindavan, it is so beautiful in the evenings just after finishing the Sandhya Aarti and the Damodar Aarti. All the devotees gather in the pandal behind the Krishna Balaram temple, and thousands of devotees together are singing this Gopi Geet. And we're missing so much, because We at ISKCON Vishakhapatnam had planned actually on this Adhik Mass to go for a Vrindavan Yatra. Of course, we had planned months ahead, and we didn't know this was all coming, the Corona thing. But now we won't be able to go. But whenever we recite these, you know, we get those sweet memories of Vrindavan Dham. So here, coming back to our first sloka, it says Gopyo Uchuha. So Uchuha is plural. See, like we see in Bhagavad Gita, it says Arjuno Uvacha. Uvacha means one person is talking, Bhagavan Uvacha. But here it says Gopyo Uchuha, because there are many gopis singing. So this Gopi Geet is not by one single gopi, but it is by so many gopis who are singing one verse, and they are representing all the other gopis. In fact, if we read the commentaries by Jiva Goswami, he also gives the detail of the name of the gopis who has sang which verse, because he identifies it by the way it has been composed and by the incident that she is mentioning. Of course, we can't go into those details today, but he does mention all the details who must have sang it. So here we see that the gopis, they begin this Gopi Geet recitation in a very positive mood. They say, Jayati Tedhikam. They say, O Krishna, Jaya, glory, glory to this Vrindavan Dham has come because you have appeared here. So the gopis say the Vrindavan Dham was already glorious. That's why you must have selected Vrindavan to appear here. But just because you have appeared in Vrindavan, this Dham has become all the more glorious. Jayati te adhikam. All the more glorious because you have appeared here. And what has happened? Because you have appeared, even Lakshmi Devi followed you. From Vaikuntha, she came here in Vrindavan. Why did she come here? Shruyata. Shruyata also means to serve you. Lakshmi Devi has come here to serve you. If you have been to Vrindavan, you know there is a place called Bilvavan in Vrindavan, where it is said that Lakshmi Devi is still meditating, doing tapasya, because she wanted an entrance into the Rasalila, which apparently she was denied. So she is still worshipping, she is still meditating in Bilvavan to get access to Rasalila of Krishna. So here the gopis are telling Krishna that, you know, though you may be looking very handsome, very beautiful in Vaikuntha with all your Aishwarya, but your dear Lakshmi Devi has left that rupa of you, yours, and has come behind you in Vrindavan. And she is so impressed by your cowherd beauty. Different Vaishnava Acharyas comment that the mood of the gopis is that you are looking more beautiful as a cowherd boy, and that credit is not yours, but just because Yashoda Mata decorates you so nicely with all those sandalwood pulp and those beautiful dots on your forehead, that you look so handsome, that Lakshmi Devi is so attracted by you that she comes here. And not only that, some Rasika Acharyas have given commentary that the gopis are taunting Krishna is that all your beauty is because of Nanda Maharaj. Because sometimes only beauty doesn't work. beauty with confidence. You know, sometimes those who are beautiful looking, if they have a little bit confidence, they look more beautiful. And your confidence is coming because you are the son of Nanda Maharaj. Because Nanda being the king of Raja, you are having you are proud about it, that my father is the king of Raja. Sometimes we see even within ordinary people, they are so proud about their parentage. My father is so and so, he works in so and so company, and they become so proud. And with that confidence, they look more beautiful. So gopis are trying to say, oh Krishna, you don't look beautiful just because you are beautiful. Your beauty is because the way Yashoda dresses you. Your beauty is because you are son of Nanda. And they said, because you look so beautiful, here is Lakshmi Devi, who has left Vaikuntha and she has come here running behind you. There are other Rasik Acharyas who have commented that the other way that they have interpreted Jayati Te Dikam is, they say that the gopis are challenging Krishna that Jaya, victory will be ours, don't worry. You have tried to defeat us in this game by hiding, and you may be assuming that we are simple cowherd girls and we will be defeated because we can't see you anymore. We will just go back home disappointed. But no, we aren't going to go back. We are going to win. We will get you back with our prayers, and at the end we will see you. So Jaya will be definitely ours. We are not disappointed. And the Acharyas comment that should be the attitude of devotees. At no point of time or in any kind of provocating situation do the devotees should be disappointed. Oh, there will be Jaya. Definitely we will win and we will get Krishna someday. So says Jayati Te Dikam. Oh Krishna, we will win this game, you know. So definitely we will ultimately find you, we will see you. So Jayati Te Dikam Janmana Vraja Shayata Indira Shashvadat Rahe. And then in the next line Gopika say, Dayata Drishyatam Dikshutavakas. Oh Krishna, we've been searching you in all the directions. Dayata means, oh beloved, we are searching you everywhere, but we are not able to see you. And then the gopis say something so emotional in the last line. They say, Tvai drita savas tvam vichinvate. Oh beloved Krishna, we are holding our life in our hand just because of you. Because we know you will come back. And if at all we give up our life, if you come back and you see our dead bodies, you will be disappointed. So just for your sake, we are holding our life. Right? This is so beautiful because it is very easy to give up one's life, but to live in separation is very difficult. See, if you see in Ramayana, Dashrath Maharaj, he just gave up his life in separation of Lord Ram, which is more easier. We see that in case of Hadai Pandit, when Nityananda Prabhu left on the Tirtha Yatra, Hadai Pandit just gave up his life in separation of the Lord. So the Gopikas are trying to taunt that, yeah, it's easy to give up the life in your separation, but to keep the life is very difficult. So here we are keeping our lives together just because because if you come back and you find us dead, you will feel bad. So oh Krishna, please come back. We are somehow keeping our lives together. So very, very beautiful sloka. Going to the next sloka. Saradadasaye Sadhu jata sat sarasi jodara shri mushadrisha suratanathate shulkadasika varadane gnato Nehakim Vadha. So here the Gopikas say, on the beautiful autumn night, the lotus are looking so beautiful in the middle of the water reservoirs. It says that, my Lord, but your glance is more beautiful than this lotus in the winter night. See, sometimes you know, if somebody is very beautiful, you know, somebody just walks in, you know, a very beautiful person walks in, and we are all looking at this beautiful person, and then somebody who is more beautiful walks in, then what happens is our focus will immediately shift to the person who is more beautiful. Now, technically, what happens is this more beautiful person has stolen the beauty of this other person, because now everybody's attention is on the more beautiful person. So here the gopis are trying to say that the lotus flowers are beautiful, my lord, but you have stolen the beauty of those lotus flower in the winter night because your glance is so beautiful, more beautiful than these lotus. Now these are not ordinary lotus, sadhujat. That very fine quality, very good quality lotus. But even those lotus are not as beautiful as your glance. And then the gopis say, Surat Nath Te Shulka Dasika. Oh my lord, we are your maid servants. You know, Shulka Dasika. See, in the servants also, there are two types of servants. One servant is the one who takes salary. But here the gopis say that we are the servants who are working for you free of cost. We are not even taking any salary from you. So why are you doing this to us? You know, what is our expectation? We don't want anything from you. We have not come here for any desires. We just came here to love you, and we just wanted love in reciprocation. But here you are. You just disappeared from our vision. So here the gopis are trying to say to Krishna that looks like you want to play a game of hide and seek. But look, maybe we are not even on your level to play that game with you. We are very simple cowherd village ladies. So why not you play this game with somebody who is your equal? Maybe they can play with you. We can't. We just your maid servants. Please come back. We want to see you. You know, don't play these games with us. We are very simple ladies, right? So, Shulka Dasika, we don't want anything from you. And I thought that was such a beautiful point for all of us to, you know, take lessons in our life. We may also think ourselves as servants of the Lord. But the problem with us is we are the servants who want salary at the end of the month. We want salary from the Lord. My Lord, I attend Mangalarati, I attend all the aartis, I chant your 16 rounds, I'm taking prasadam, I'm reading Bhagavatam, look, I'm doing so much service to you, I'm giving charity, I'm preaching, I'm doing this. So my Lord, where is my salary? I want my salary. So we want something from the Lord. We want that Lord should keep us healthy, wealthy, fine, our family fine, this fine. That means we are servants of the Lord who want salary. But Gopi says, we don't want salary. We don't want nothing from you. We just love you. And then Gopikas say, Varada Nignato. Varada. The Gopis say that You are the God of love, and we have heard that you give boons. Varada Nignato, you're supposed to give boons. But here we see on the contrary, forget about giving us boons. You just disappeared from our vision. So, you know, Krishna, please come back. Don't do that. And then the gopis say something so deep. They say, Neha Kim Vadha. We are expecting that you will give us love, but you are killing us. Why are you killing us? And, you know, what kind of killing are you doing? See, if somebody kills you with a dagger, with a knife, all right, you know, you can show somebody, you can complain to somebody, look, this person is killing me, hurting me, blood is coming out. But the way you are killing me, I can't even complain to somebody that you are killing us by not being, you know, not appearing in front of us. We are dying. Please come back. We are your simple maid servants. We have not come here with a big list of material desires. Do this for my son. Give him this seat. Give me this money. Nothing. We just want you, my Lord. So please come back, you know. So this is what the gopis are requesting Krishna. Oh Krishna, please come back. Now, certain other Vaishnava Acharyas have given a very beautiful commentary to this verse where they say that this can also be compared to when the gopis are saying that, you know, the Krishna's beauty is more than the beauty of this water reservoir where there is this lotus flower in the middle in the autumn lit night. The Acharya say that you can also compare this with the crystal clear waters as the crystal clear pure minds of the devotees of Krishna, where the lotus of their bhakti is growing And the devotees are praying that, my dear Lord, I'm trying to grow this lotus in my heart, but it needs your beautiful glance on me. Only then will it grow nicely. So, oh dear Krishna, please give your merciful glance on us so that Sadhu Jat, this beautiful fine quality of lotus of devotional service grows in our heart. Yeah. And some other acharyas comment that why are the gopis talking about Krishna's beauty here? So he says, apparently maybe the gopis want to say that usually, you know, even in this material world, whenever somebody is beautiful, we expect that because the person is looking so beautiful, maybe the person may be having a beautiful nature also. Of course, to the contrary, sometimes we see people look very beautiful, but when we interact with them, we see they may not have such beautiful nature. And sometimes we see somebody may not be beautiful, but they have very good nature. But the thing with Krishna is, he's not only beautiful, even his nature, his swabhava is also very beautiful. So the gopis are trying to tell him that, look, because you look so beautiful, we expected that you also have a nature which is very beautiful. But here on the contrary, we see you are cruel. You are cruel. You want to kill us by not being present in front of us. So here the gopikas are praying Krishna, oh dear Krishna, please come back. Please come back. We'll go to the next sloka.
Vishajalapyayat Vyalarakshasat Varasamarutat Vaidyutanalat Vrishamayatmajat Vishvato Bhayat Rishabhate Vayam Rakshita Muhu.
So here the gopis are being grateful to Krishna. At the same time they're saying, Krishna, you were so kind to us, were you not? You protected us from so many calamities. Vishajalapyayad, you protected us from the poisonous water of the Kaliya serpent. Vyala Rakshasad, O Krishna, you protected us from the demon Aghasur. Then it says, Varasamarutad, you protected us from the rains of Indra. Then says, Marutat is the windstorm created by Trinavarta. You protected us from that. Vaidyatanulat, you protected us from the bolt of Indra. Then Vrisha, from the bull Aritrasur. Maya Danav, Maya Atmajad, from the son of Maya Danav, Vyomasur. Oh my dear Lord, you protected us in the past from all these calamities, and in future also you are going to protect us. See, because the killing of Vyomasur and killing of Aritrasur will happen after this incident. So there may be a question arise that how come the gopikas are talking something which has not even happened. So in the commentary, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the gopis know about all this because when Garga Muni had come there, he had predicted that Krishna is going to, you know, kill these demons, and they know. So here we know that gopis at one point, they actually know he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They know that Krishna is going to protect. So gopis are saying that, you protected us previously from all these calamities, and you are going to protect us in the future also from all these demons. So what is the problem to protect us in the present? Why are you killing us in the present? You protected us in the past and in the future. Why not now, is what the gopis are asking. So the gopis, you know, one Vaishnava Acharya commented very beautifully on this. He just took a little deeper meaning into this, and he says, when the gopi says Vishajalapyaya, they're also trying to say that this material world is like a poisonous water because we are not using our senses in serving Krishna. What was Kaliya doing? He wanted to enjoy the Yamuna just for himself. He didn't want to share the waters of Yamuna with the cowherd boys, with the cowherd villagers. He poisoned it. So similarly, even we, the materialistic people, we are using our senses just for our own sense gratification, right? So the Vaishnava Acharya say that the gopis are saying that just now we learn the art of engaging our senses in your service. Just now we learned that art. But now again you are disappearing from our vision and throwing us back into this material world, this poisonous water. Why are you doing that, Krishna? You just lifted us up. We were getting better day by day. We were learning how to use our senses in your service, and now you have again put us back by not being not appearing in front of us. So I thought this was also such a beautiful lesson for all of us, because as devotees, you know, what are we supposed to do? To engage our senses in serving Krishna. See, the meaning of the word gopi itself is so beautiful. Go means senses, and pivati means one who drinks the nectar of Krishna with all their senses. Of course, what these gopis are saying here is just for giving a lesson to us, but they are so elevated. Their senses are always thinking about Krishna. In fact, the gopis have a problem. The senses of the gopis, they don't listen to the gopis. They spontaneously get attracted to Krishna and go towards the direction of Krishna. For us, it's other way around. Our senses don't listen to us. They spontaneously get attracted to material things. And we have to beat them and somehow pull them back to Krishna's service. But here the gopis have a different kind of a problem. They are saying, Krishna, now our senses spontaneously just go towards you. And now you are not appearing in front of us. So what do we do? Our senses have forgotten anything but you. They don't know how to see anything but you. They don't know to talk about anything but you. They don't know how to hear anything but your flute. They don't know how to serve anybody but you. So what to do now? If you are not appearing in front of us, what do we do? These senses, they don't listen to us. So you can imagine how the situation of the gopis is. It's like as if they were just now eating something sweet from a pot, and they're just relishing it, closing their eyes, and the moment they open their eyes, Krishna is gone. It's not there anymore in front of them. So that is what the gopis are saying, that Krishna, please come back. You have protected us in the past and you're going to protect us in the future. Krishna, please come back. So going to the next sloka. Nakhalu gopika nandano bhavan akhila dehinam antaratmadre vikhana sarthito vishva guptaye sakau devivar satvatam kule. This is very, very beautiful sloka. Here the gopis are telling Krishna, we know who you are. We know you're not just an ordinary boy born in the house of Nanda and Yashoda. You are akhila dehinam. You are present in everybody's heart. Antaratma dek. You are there in everybody's heart, Krishna. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are not just an ordinary boy born in Nanda's house. Now, why do the gopis mention this? Because suppose Krishna may, next day morning, Krishna may tell them, oh, I was just tired, you know, in the middle of the Ras Leela. My legs were paining. So I just went home and I slept. Oh, you people were searching for me, is it? Oh, you were crying for me? Oh, I didn't know that. I was just taking rest. I didn't know that. He may say that. You know, just like in the normal world, you know, sometimes when people want to avoid some call, you know, they'll simply say, oh, I didn't see your call. You called me? Acha, I didn't see your message. My phone was charging. Or they'll say, oh, my phone was not with me. I didn't see you. Did you call me? You know how sometimes people make excuses if they don't want to take your call. So similarly, Krishna make excuse, you know, that, oh, I didn't know you were crying for me. Is it? I don't know. I was just sleeping. You know, I went back home after the Ras Leela. So the gopis are saying that, don't you make that innocent face in front of us. We know very well that you are in everybody's heart. And now that we are crying for you, you know very well we are crying for you because you are there in everybody's heart. You are listening to us right now. So don't you make that excuse. You are able to understand our pain that we are going through because of separation. So please come back. Don't be unfair. So, akhila dehinam antaratmadek. So then Krishna may say, oh, is it? Oh, is it? I'm in everybody's heart, is it? So why did I come out then? So the gopis are answering, you came out because Brahma prayed. He says that vikhana sarthi to, Brahma prayed for you that please come and save your devotees. That is why you came. And for saving your devotees, Vishwa Guptaye, for the protection of this whole universe. So why are these gopis mentioning that? Because they just want to remind Krishna that you came for protection of this whole world. So aren't we part of this whole world? So why aren't you protecting us? We are also part of this world. Krishna, kindly protect us also. And then they say, Sakha Udeivan. This is so important, Udeivan. See, they very well know that Krishna is not born, he appears. So they use this word Udeivan. You know, just like the sun appears and disappears, Krishna, you appeared. You know, so they very clearly say that. And then they say, Sakha. See, such apparent controversy. In the beginning, they say, you are like Paramatma in everybody's heart, you are God, you are this, you know, you are Antaratma, you know what is happening. And then in the last line, they say, Sakha. So it is something like emotionally blackmailing Krishna. All right, you may be God, we know that. But you are our Sakha, right? You are our friend, right? So why are you doing that to us? You know, friends don't do that. Why are you giving us pain? Just come back, you know. See, the acharyas comment that the gopis, they very well know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they don't allow Krishna's Aishwarya to come in between their relationship. So the acharyas comment that just like in the night, you can see the stars very clearly in the night. But as soon as the sun rises in the morning, you don't see the stars. But that doesn't mean that the stars are not there. The stars are very much there. But because the power of the rays of the sun is so bright that you can't see the stars. Similarly, it's not that the gopis don't know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the gopis' love for Krishna is so high, so bright, that the Aishwarya of Krishna is ignored. They don't even consider him as God. They just think Krishna as their own. What do the cowherd boys say to Krishna? Oh Krishna, tumi ami sama. You and us are equal. Don't think you are somebody great, okay? This is how they talk to Krishna. Right? Even when sometime Krishna tells them, look how I lifted the Govardhan hill. And the cowherd boys, they remind Krishna, hey, don't forget, it was because of us. You know, we also helped you, remember? When you were holding the Govardhan, we were also holding it with the help of some sticks. It's not you alone. And then there's other cowherd boys who will say, see, you did all that only because of Yashoda Mata. She fed you so nicely butter. That's why you had the strength to lift Govardhan. So no matter how much Krishna tries to convince them that I am God, for them Krishna is their own. Krishna is somebody their own, nothing bigger than them. Right? In Gujarati, there is one a very beautiful bhajan where the gopis are doing ninda stuti. They are teasing Krishna. They say, Nandana kuvaratame. Nandana kuvaratame bahurangarasiya amare karane lala vrajamaye vasiya Nandana kuvaratame nakaro badhai mota thaya maru makhanakai. Very beautiful Gujarati bhajan where the gopis are saying, hey look, don't show off too much, okay? You are here today in Vrindavan just because of us. And don't you try to show us that you have lot of strength. All this, that strength, mota thaya, this, you know, you have grown up just because we fed you with butter. our butter has given you all this strength of whatever these things you try to show us by killing this demon, that demon. It's all because of the butter that we fed you. So don't you try to act smart in front of us. So no matter how much Krishna tries, you know, just like you see the VIPs, they may be sometimes very big outside, but when they come home, the family members, they never respect them. Even they may be great film stars or celebrities in the outside world. Similarly, Vrindavan is Krishna's home. So no matter outside, people may be chanting, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Oh Krishna, you are Sarva Karana Karana, you are Adi Purusha. But in Vrindavan, very sad, nobody respects Krishna. At Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj says, Krishna, go and get my slippers. And then Krishna just takes the slippers of Nanda Maharaj and puts it on his head and walks to Nanda Maharaj. So in Vrindavan, Krishna is their own child, you know. So here the gopis, they say, Sakha, you're our friend. Why are you doing that to us, Krishna? Just come back, you know, just please come back. So here he says, Akhila Dehi Naam, you are there in everybody's heart. Now somebody may question, if Krishna is in everybody's heart, and if Krishna is in the heart of the gopis, then why are the gopis speaking the prayers aloud? Krishna knows, he's in the heart, he knows the gopis are suffering, they'll come back. Right? Sometimes even when we are preaching, you know, people argue. Why do you ISKCON devotees do so much show off chanting and then going to temple? Why all that? Krishna is in our heart, na? So Krishna understands what we require. We don't need anything. But the whole point is, he understands, nothing wrong in that. But the whole point is when we tell our prayers aloud, when we talk to Krishna, when we speak to Krishna, we develop a relationship with Krishna. It is so important. See, prayer is not only a mechanism whereby you just want to, express your desires to Krishna, but it is a medium for building a relationship with Krishna. You want to build a relationship. And how do you build a relationship with somebody? Even in this material world, if you want to have a relationship with somebody, what do? You need to talk to the person regularly, take prasad with the person, associate with the person. If you regularly do that, you will get an attachment with the person, right? So similarly, if you want to increase your attachment to Krishna, you need to talk to Krishna. You should speak your prayers aloud, have a relationship with him. I remember as a young girl in our house, we had this system that every day we talk to Krishna. We share with Krishna everything. Even if we buy a pencil, a frock, a compass box, we used to go to the puja room and show Krishna. We used to talk to him. This is how my day was today in the school. This is what happened. That is what happened. And that is the way we develop a relationship with Krishna, because Krishna wants a relationship with us. He just doesn't want that you just chant some Purusha Shukta, Shri Shukta and you just walk away. He loves when you talk to him, when you have a relationship with him. He loves when the gopis do Ninda Stuti, when they call him, O thief, when they call him, O Kaliya, O black one. You know, so he loves that sweet exchange, loving exchange with his devotees. So if we want to have a relationship with Krishna, definitely we need to pray aloud. We need to express our prayers. So here, even though he's a Akhila Dehinam, but gopis are saying out aloud, Krishna, please come back. And then the final point, the gopikas say, you appeared in Satvatam Kule. You have appeared in a dynasty of pious people. You have appeared in the dynasty of the Vrishnis, the Satvatam Kula. So why are the gopis mentioning that? Because, you see, the gopis, they know very well. If they say, Krishna, you are the son of Nanda, then Krishna may say, no, I am son of Vasudev and Devaki. And if they say, look, you are the son of Vasudev and Devaki, then Krishna may say, no, I am the son of Nanda and Yashoda. So here gopis are being very safe. They are saying Satvatam Kule. Satvatam also means the Satvatam dynasty, and it also means the dynasty of pious people. So here the gopis are saying, hey Krishna, you belong to a pious dynasty. Now, why are the gopis reminding him of that? Because the gopis want to tell him that, look, the people who belong to the pious dynasty, what do? They have certain duties. You know what the duties of Kshatriyas are, right? They have to protect women, they have to protect young children, they have to protect old men, they have to protect brahmanas, cows. So they are reminding that, Krishna, you belong to such a pious dynasty, you are supposed to protect women. But what to speak about protection? You are killing women who have left their family and everything and have come to you. You are killing them. So, oh Krishna, don't kill us. You are from a good dynasty. Bring a good name to your dynasty. Come back and protect us. Right? We'll go to the next sloka.
Virachita bhayam vrishni dhuryate charanami usham samsrite bhayat kara saroruham kanta kamadam sirasi dehina shri karagraham.
So now Krishna may ask the gopis, oh, I'm very impressed. You're speaking very nicely. So, okay, if I come back, what do you want me to do? What should I do after coming back? What is my job? So the gopikas are answering this question. They say, Krishna, what we want is, come back and put your lotus hand on our head. And then here, it's a very, very important point that the gopis make. They say that those who have taken your shelter, my Lord, you give them abhayam, fearlessness. So I thought that was a very beautiful point, because see, in this world, there are many kinds of fears. There is this fear of health. Yeah, like now, everybody around the world is fearful of this disease, right? So there is fear of health. There may be fear of wealth. What's going to happen after the lockdown opens? Some of the jobs may be laid off. You know, the financial problem. There may be economical fear, financial fear, fear of relationships. Sometimes there is some problem between relationships. There is some health problem. So there are so many kinds of fear in this world. But here what the gopis are talking about are not the temporary fears. What they are talking about is samsriter bhayat. They said that, my Lord, when somebody takes a shelter of you, then they are relieved of samsriter bhayat. See, the thing is, even sometimes as devotees, we think Krishna should protect us from this problem, that problem. But what actually Krishna tries to do is not only protecting us from the temporary problems, but what he wants to do is, he wants to protect us from samsriter bhayat. Samsriter bhayat is the bhaya, or the fear of staying back in this material world. And that is a very big fear. You know, health fear, or the financial fear, or the social fear, or the relationship fears, all these are temporary fear. But the real fear is that if we don't go back to Krishna, if we stay back in this material world, if we keep on taking birth life after life, if we are stuck in this cycle of birth, death, old age and disease, this is a very big fear. Samsriter bhayat. And devotees, they have another kind of fear. It's not that devotees are not fearful of these temporary fears, but then they have a bigger fear. They have a bigger fear. Now, what is the fear? See, adidevik, adhyatmik, adibhautik miseries, even devotees suffer. It's not that, and when devotees suffer from these adidevik, adhyatmik, adibhautik miseries, they have a different kind of fear. Their fear is that these disturbances will take them away from their service of Krishna. Let's say, for example, if it's going to rain, then devotees are fearful, oh, it will rain, it will hamper our Rath Yatra. So they have that kind of fear. Or let's say if somebody has some disease, oh, they are fearful that, oh, if I have fever or if I'm not feeling well, I won't be able to serve Krishna. Or let's say if they have, you know, any other person causing trouble to them, you know, they may fear that this may be an obstacle to my service to Krishna. So definitely, devotees do face adhyatmik, adidevik and adibhautik troubles, and they have a fear that this will be causing an hindrance in their spiritual lives. Because even the devotees are not bereft of these miseries. We are seeing that. Everybody is facing it. Like Prabhupada, on many occasion said that, you know, when one devotee was asking Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, how come, you know, the mosquitoes bite you? You are also pure devotee. You are a pure devotee. So how come, you know, mosquitoes bite us, we understand, but how come the mosquitoes are biting you? And Prabhupada very humorously say that mosquitoes don't show distinction between pure devotees or, you know, materialistic people. They are, you know, same for everybody. So definitely devotees also suffer. But the thing is, for all these sufferings, you can't do much about it because you are destined to suffer according to your previous karma. You can't do much about it. You can't send a SMS to Indra that, can you stop the rain today? We have Rath Yatra. It's not going to work out. These are beyond our jurisdiction. We can't do anything about it. But there's another kind of fear which the devotees are very much afraid of, and that is the fear of distraction, the fear of temptation, the fear of getting tempted to materialistic objects, yeah, the fear of getting attached and, you know, to materialistic relationships. That is what the devotees are afraid, you know? So that is what is there in their mind, that how to protect oneself from those distractions, because the other sufferings that you are going through is your past bank account. But this time, in this lifetime, after coming into Krishna consciousness, when we get distracted and drive our attentions to different other material objects, and engage ourselves into different other anti-devotional activities or non-devotional activities, what we are doing is we are simply opening a new bank account with Maya Devi. And the moment we engage in these activities, then Maya Devi sends us a message. Thank you for opening an account with us. You are our new valued customer. Please start making deposits, is the message Maya Devi sends us. And we don't want to open a new account with Maya Devi, because we have our previous accounts with her, which we are still trying to clear, and we don't want to have a new account. So more than anything, this is what the devotees are afraid of, you know, that they may get distracted, or they may be taken away from Krishna due to certain situations or circumstances. So here the gopis say that, but Krishna, those who take shelter of you, they are given relief from all kinds of fear. That means, as devotees, you know, we may have a question. Yeah, we understand that distractions will take us away from Krishna, but who will protect us from those distractions? In Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, there is a very beautiful sloka, 11th canto, chapter 2, sloka number 37. They said, those who are intelligent people, if they take shelter of Krishna under the guidance of a spiritual master, then definitely they will be getting abhayam. They will become fearless. Krishna will protect them. So what we need to do as devotees is take complete shelter of Krishna and his devotees. Only Krishna can help us to not be distracted. That means we have to pray. Like Prabhupada always said, that where we going wrong as devotees, sadhu, savdhan, where devotees go wrong is sometimes they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. Right? Sometimes our situation is like that of a king, you know. There was once a king who was asked by a doctor not to take mangoes. The doctor said to the king, don't take mangoes because you will die if you take mangoes. The king said, fine. So one day the king and the minister, they went for hunting. After that, they were very tired. So the king said to the minister, let's take rest under a tree. So he said that, what's the problem? The doctor said not to eat mango, but definitely we can sit under the shade of the mango tree. And then the minister, he says, fine. And after some time, one mango falls on the king's head. And the king immediately holds the mango. And the minister says, my lord, be careful. The king says, come on. The doctor said, don't eat the mango. I'm just holding it. And then the king brings a mango next to his nose, and the minister is, my lord, be careful. And the king is like, come on. The doctor said, don't eat the mango. I can smell the mango. I can touch the mango. Nothing wrong in that. And then the king starts eating it, and the minister is like, what are you doing? And the king says, come on. The doctor said, don't eat the mango. I'm simply tasting the mango. And then he ends up eating the mango. And I think this is what happens in our lives too. Sometimes we become so overconfident as devotees. But we need to be so careful. We have to be very careful and be far away from those stimulus which may bring back our old habits which we have given up after coming into devotional life. We have to be so careful. So who can help us in that? Only the association of devotees and the Lord's mercy, because we have a war with Maya. And who is Maya? Maya is Lord's own energy. So definitely, if we want to fight with the Lord's energy, we need Lord's energy. Because Maya is Lord's energy. So we need Lord's this energy to fight with Lord's that energy. We need Lord's help. Only Lord can help us. So if Lord protects us, that is why Srila Prabhupada said that we should sufficiently pray to Krishna every single day that, my dear Lord, please protect me from distractions. You know, there's so many distractions by your servant Mayadevi in this world. I need your constant protection. And I want to make a point here. And if we have sufficiently prayed, then we have full rights to even fight with Krishna if he doesn't protect us from Maya. Like I've given this, I don't know if you know this beautiful story of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj. Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he was from a fisherman family. So once it so happened that he was such a pure devotee, you know, always serving the Lord with lots of love and affection, and serving his deities, you know, Gaur, Nitai and Gadadhar, very nicely. But once it so happened that he was sitting outside his hut, and there was one lady who was selling fishes. Now in Calcutta, in West Bengal, it's very common. So she was selling fishes, and she comes to this Baba and asks, you know, Baba, you want some fishes? Now, he's a devotee, so he doesn't eat fish. But when she puts her basket down, for a fraction of a second, Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj looks at those fishes and he's like, wow, good quality ones. Because see, he's from a fisherman family background, you know. So he knows very well which are the good quality fishes for eating, which are good for what. So just for a fraction of a second, he says, oh, looks like, you know, they're good quality fish. And that's about it. And very next moment, he's done with that. And the lady walks away. But then he feels very upset that how come my Lord didn't protect me even for a fraction of a second? Why did I even get that bad thought? So he just goes inside his hut and takes his deities, ties them with a rope, puts them inside the water in the river, and one end of the rope he holds, and he stands outside on the bank of the river, and he abuses and uses swear words for the Lord and says, this is what you did to me. I left my house, my family, everything, and so sincerely worshipping you, and you bring this kind of a dirty thought in my mind. This is what you do to me. You deserve this punishment. I'm not going to take you out from the water. He just drowns the deities inside the water and holds them, you know, with one end of the rope and said, I'm not going to bring you out from the water unless you say sorry. You're not going to do that again. Are you going to do that again? Are you going to bring those dirty thoughts in my mind again? Tell me. He's swearing words to the Lord. And then finally he takes the Lord out from that. Now imagine, he must have worshipped the Lord so sincerely that here he has a right to fight with the Lord. How dare did you bring that thought in my mind? So at least, of course, we are not on that level to fight with the Lord, but at least if we have sufficiently worshipped the Lord, then we can ask him that, my Lord, I'm sincerely praying day in and day out. How come you're not protecting me from distraction? Please protect me. Please protect my mind. See, nowadays we are talking about social distancing. What about social distancing in our minds? We are having physical distance, fine. What about distancing in our mind from materialistic objects, from materialistic sense enjoyment thoughts? We have to be so careful. So if we have sufficiently prayed, then we have right. Krishna will become obliged to save us, to protect us. Like he did in the case of Bhishma. We see how Bhishma, when he was lying on the arrows, in the bed of the arrows, and at that last moment, leaving his body, because he had worshipped Krishna so sincerely all his life. At the end of the life, very confidently he could instruct Krishna. He did not request Krishna. He instructed, he ordered Krishna. He said, Krishna, I'm just going to leave my body just within a few moments, and make sure you are there. Stand right in front of me. Don't move. I want to see your beautiful face, which was smiling, and I want to see your form with those four hands. So kindly be there in my vision. He didn't request, he ordered. And how could he do that? How could he order Krishna? Because he earned it. He earned it. He had worshipped Krishna so much all his life that he earned this privilege to order Krishna. Oh Krishna, don't go away from my vision. So he sings this very, very beautiful sloka. He says, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshamam Kalevaram Yavadidam Hinomi Aham Prasannaha Sarunalochanolasat Mukham Bhujodhyana Pathas Chaturbhujam. Very beautiful. He says, Sadeva Devo Bhagavan Pratikshatam. Hey, wait for me, my Lord. Just wait for me. When I'm going to Kalevaram, when I'm going to give up this body, just be there. And how I want to see you? Your beautiful face, which is like smiling, and on my patha, you know, in my vision, with Chaturbhujam, because that is a form Bhishma liked. So he wanted to see Lord in the Chaturbhujam form. So he could do that to the Lord because he earned it. So as devotees, you know, we must take shelter of Krishna and Guru and devotees, and we should do our sadhana in, you know, so sincerely that Krishna will be obliged to be around, will be obliged to be around when we give that final exam at the time of leaving our body, and he'll be there holding our hands and speaking out his names in our ears, as he promised, as it's mentioned in Garuda Puran, that if somebody worships Krishna whole their life, at the end of the life, Krishna tells his name in the ear of that devotee. And even if that devotee dies in a way where he didn't have an opportunity to remember Krishna, Krishna himself comes and tells his own name in the ear of that devotee. So here, the gopis say that samsriter bhayat, Krishna, you protect those who have taken your shelter, you protect them from samsriter bhayat. They become fearless. And then in the last they said, oh dear Lord, please come and put your lotus hand on our head, you know. So this is a very, very important sloka, very, very beautiful sloka, that we must take the shelter of Krishna and somehow or the other try to come out of this cycle of this repeated changing the bodies. Our soul has been changing the bodies from so many lifetimes. We have to take shelter of Krishna. Just like Shankaracharya says, we don't want punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jathare shayanam, iha sansare khalu dustare, kripaya pare pahi murare. Please deliver us from this material world. We don't want to take birth again and again. Please give us your shelter and a constant association of your devotees. So I think I'm too much over time. I will end it here. So we had this discussion up to text 5, and you can go home, and you know, at home you can read the rest of the texts. They're very, very, very beautiful, with very, very profound meaning. Thank you so much, and sorry for going a little over time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Being in the material world, how one can be free from fear and anxieties?
All right.
And do his sadhana sincerely.
All right, so a very, 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 very nice and very, very practical question, that we are in this material world, and this material world is definitely full of fear and anxieties. Am I audible? Yeah, am I audible? All right. So this material world is full of fear, anxieties, everything is, we're so vulnerable. We don't know when, what is going to happen. So how can somebody sincerely do sadhana? Now let me tell you one very beautiful story in this regard. You know, once somebody went and asked this question to Sant Ekanath. You know, you have heard about Ekanath. He's a very famous saint in Maharashtra, just like we have Narasimha Mehta in Gujarat, and we have, you know, different, say, Tukaram. We have Sant Ekanath. So somebody went and asked Ekanath that, you are such a pure soul, and how come you are not tempted to do any sinful activities, and how come you are able to live such pure life? He was glorifying the saint. So, you know, Sant Ekanath suddenly became very grave and he said, stop all that glorification. Let me tell you something. You are going to die within 7 days. So go home and make some preparation for your own death and stop glorifying me and wasting your time. So immediately this devotee, he became very nervous. He said, "Arey, I don't know, I'm going to die within 7 days. Okay, thank you Swamiji for informing me." So he goes back home and he makes all the preparation, and he gets his insurance policy together. One day goes in depression that he's going to die, and second day he makes, this son will get this property, my wife will get this. He makes all the arrangements, you know. He gets so busy, and then he starts his chanting, and because now he's going to die within 7 days. Now, as 6 days pass, on the sixth day, Sant Ekanath goes and visits this devotee, you know, visits his house and says, so, hello, how are you? Everything is fine? So he said, fine means I'm going to die. So you see, I'm just making all the preparations. And then Sant Ekanath asked him a question. So can I know how many sinful activities you committed last 6 days? So this man is like, why will I commit to sinful activities in the 6 days? I'm just going to die, you know. Another, you know, in 7 days you told me that. So I don't have even time of committing sinful activities. I'm not even thinking about sinful activities. I'm only thinking about how, you know, I can worship, I can chant, I can read, because I have very less time. So then Sant Ekanath said, just like you are saying that you just have 7 days, how can you even have time to commit any other sinful activities? Similarly, it's not the question of 7 days or 70 years. A person who is always conscious that the death is, you know, anytime going to approach him, will not waste his time in anything. He'll be conscious. Now the problem is, definitely we are facing fear and anxieties, but if we are always conscious of the bigger fear, you know, I always mention this in my classes, the biggest challenge is to keep the biggest challenge as the biggest challenge. As devotees, the biggest challenge that we are facing is, we are not able to keep the biggest challenge of our life, that is how to go back to Goloka, as our biggest challenge. We are so busy in sorting out our smaller challenge, and we are forgetting about the bigger challenge that we have to take up seriously in this human form that we have got. So if we are always conscious, see, the problem is, if somebody has put a dagger next to our throat, we will be so careful in moving our neck. See, the thing is that death is also as close as that. But the only thing is, it's invisible. We can't see that. That is why we are giving so much importance to the fear and the anxieties of this world. But if we are always conscious, and how will that consciousness come? And that consciousness will come if we are always reading Srimad Bhagavatam, taking shelter and association of devotees, then we will be in constant remembrance of that fear, of that fear, samsriter bhayat, that, oh my God, I may just stay back in this world, I may keep changing some more bodies, you know, my soul will go on from this body to another body. Not again, not again. And if we are conscious of that, then these fear and these anxieties will become, see, this is something like, let me tell you, sometimes, you know, you take your child for vaccinations. Now, when you put a vaccine to your child, it's painful, because when those injection goes into the arm, it hurts. But even though it hurts, you are not bothered, because you know it's for the greater good. Even if it hurts now, it's going to protect your child from other diseases. Similarly, when we face fear and anxiety in this world, we should understand that it's for our greater good. These are very temporary inconveniences for permanent convenience. Because the problem is, even in this world, if we don't have any fear and anxiety also, we are not going to remember the Lord. That is how we are made up of. If everything is fine and settled, we will get permanently settled in this world. We will never even remember Krishna. We will feel we are fine. We are just fine. But because there are constant fear and anxieties in this world, they give us an opportunity to remember Krishna. That is why Kunti Devi, what she says in her prarthana, I want vipada, I want problem. Because when there is problem, then there is a greater chance to remember Lord. Right? Dukh mein sumiran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. It's very difficult to remember the Lord when everything in your life is so beautiful. But when there is a little problem here and there, then you have more opportunity to remember Krishna. So, as devotees, we need to convert this fear and anxiety also. We should take it very positively. That this is something Krishna is sending us as a reminder that, look, you don't belong to this material world. This is not your place. You need to come back. If He will not send us these reminders, we may settle here. So yes, there will be fear and anxiety, but we can take shelter of the devotees, take shelter of Bhagavatam, scriptures. When we read the life of the other devotees also, we get so much inspiration. You see in the scriptures, never once you will see any devotee's life that he is born, and then he grew, and then he did very nice service of the Lord, and then he died. No, you'll always see that the devotee had that problem, but somehow he managed to worship Krishna, somehow he managed to do service to Krishna, right? You see in the life of Mirabai, she always had problem. You see the life of Tukaram, he was poor, he had problem. You see in the life of Sudama, he had problem. You see the life of Jayadeva Goswami, he had problem. Life of Narsingh Mehta, he had problem. You see the life of Pandavas, they had problem. Life of Draupadi, she had problem. Kunti Devi, she had problem. Srila Prabhupada, he had problem. Tell me the name of one devotee in the history or anywhere you pick them, pick it up. Everybody had problem. But the beauty is, devotees, even in that situation, they are converted as a medium or as a chance or an opportunity to remember Krishna more intensely. Of course, it is easier said than done, but it can be made easy if we take association of devotees. Just like, see, the whole world is suffering because of this corona situation. More kirtan, more opportunity to hear, more virtual sangha with devotees, more of reading. So devotees in every situation, they will try to convert it to their advantage. What do you say? The make a best deal of a bad bargain. Is it something like that? You know, just make a good deal of whatever situation we are in and take advantage of it. Of course, I could have elaborated in the question answer, but I don't want to make it very, very, very long. I hope this answer helps you. Yes, please go ahead, little master. Yeah, so you want me to answer in Telugu? So his question is that how come Vamsidas Babaji treated the deities like that? Yeah, so just like you had this question, many of the devotees at that time had this question, and that is why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur at that time told the devotees for briefly, don't associate with Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, because we are not on that level to understand the way he deals with the deities, because for him, his deities are like his own children. Please mute yourself. For him, his deities are like his own children. So sometimes he punishes them, sometimes he scolds them, sometimes he doesn't give them food. It once happened that Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj went out for Madhukari and somebody broke inside his hut and stole the cups in which he makes offering for the deities. And when he came back, he was very upset. And he told Gornitai, you are the owners of the house and you have not taken care and somebody has stolen the cups. Till you bring the cups back, I'm not going to cook for you. So he punished them. And then the deities were like, you know, no food and hungry. So by evening, the thief, whoever had stolen, Lord made sure that the thief brought the cups back and put it in Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj's hut again. So these deities, these devotees have such relation with the Lord. They fight with the Lord, they scold Lord, they punish Lord, like the gopis, like Yashoda Mata. They have a relationship with the Lord. So at that level, yes, they can do that. Yes, I hope it answers you.
Sab Krishna Krishna.